had stand in front of the mirror here, and I wanted to ask. I said, buddy, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Nice. Pretty. Hey. Wow. Amen. Well played, my friend. Well done. So, I got to be careful with these questions. So when you look in the mirror, you see a reflection of a handsome guy. Fair enough. All right. So think too then, when you look in the mirror, Christ is in you. Zach's a follower of Jesus, and so we believe that the Spirit of God is in him. Christ dwells within him. And so when in that truth, when he looks in the mirror, let me ask you, what do you think God wants to see reflected from you? Amen. A role model for his kids to look up to. I love that's a great answer. And what better role model than Jesus, right? A man who loves God with all his heart, loves his family, loves his church, loves his neighbors, the very things that God said was supposed to do. And that's his heart. I know this guy. That's his heart. And well done. Well done. Can I get you to grab that? He'll do that. Fantastic. Thanks, buddy. Hey, so we are in the season of Lent, which many of you may know. And in this season, we know that it's a time that we get to reflect. It's a time of reflection. So don't you love it? It's a time for the church to reflect on what God has done for us in Christ that we could not do on our own. And it's also a time to reflect, not just inwardly, I'm a handsome guy when I look in the mirror, but also to consider what we reflect when the world sees us, that we reflect the love of God in Christ that's within us. And so with that being said, what we're going to do and starting this new series today called Reflection is to gaze into four reflections, pardon the pun there, couldn't resist, over the next 4 weeks, that is what God wants his church to reflect in the world, and especially in a time when there's conflict, when there is, polar opposites of opinions and ideas, whether it's politics or whatever the case may be, what is it that God wants us to reflect in the world? And so above all, we read the Bible and we see the scripture tells us we ought to reflect the love of God in Christ. And so what are four then loving reflections that can we ought to show in the world? And the first reflection today's is forgiveness. And so, yep, he had to go there. I know. And the talk about that, I want to go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 to verse 21. And there's a story in there of Jesus with Peter, with the Apostle Peter, and the other disciples too, because they were around. And Peter asks him a question. And I want us to jump into that story because Jesus tells a parable that I want to unpack for us today and let that shape that reflection that's supposed to be seen from us in the world. So Matthew chapter 18, let's start at verse 21. Feel free, as always, if you have your Bible, I have the reference on the screen. You can certainly follow along with me as I read if you like. You ready? Excellent. Here we go. Beginning verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, he said, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now stop for a second. So sort of in the culture of the day, it was considered proper to extend forgiveness three times. And after the third time, you were kind of good. And so Peter takes it a step further and he says seven times. Well, the number seven means completeness, perfection. That so Peter's taking it even beyond and saying to like the ultimate complete sort of perfect amount of times that ought to do this, right? He's sort of dragging this thing out, right? Expanding this for Jesus. And Jesus says, all right, Peter, I hear you and I'm going to up you one. not just seven, but he takes it and he just whoop, and he really stretches it beyond. It says to 77 times. So Jesus takes that moment and he just so perfectly says, hey, guess what? I got a story I want to tell you. So he says, well, the kingdom of heaven, verse 23, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Well, here's the thing. In that day, a servant is really not going to owe his master 10,000 bags of gold. It's a pretty stretched example that he's telling. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So that forgiven servant then goes out and he finds this other person who owes him a bunch of money, and he starts getting really rough with him, and you pay me what you owe me. He's like, I can't, da, da, da. And so he throws that, has that guy put in prison until he could pay off the debt that he owes. And some of the other servants, they found out about it, so they went back to the master and said, oh, have we got something to tell you? You know that servant that you just forgave? We just saw him. So that master says, well, bring that servant before me. And look at verse 32. So then the master called the servant in. He says, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So basically that master took his debt and he just reinstated it and made him accountable to having to pay it all back because he didn't forgive as he had been forgiven. And so then in verse 35, watch this. Jesus warns Peter and the other disciples. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. That is a strong lesson coming from Jesus. So the master in the parable is who? God. We are the servants that are in debt to God. And instead of gold, sin is the outrageous debt that we can't pay and is forgiven by God. And so the lesson of the parable, which you, if you haven't picked up on already, is that we are to forgive those who sin against us generously, forgive them generously, because God has forgiven us generously in Christ. And if we don't do as God has done for us, Jesus teaches that we are held accountable to God for what we've chosen to do or not to do. Just let that sit for a second, right? Okay, Pastor, I hear you, but they lied to me. They betrayed my trust. You don't know what they said to me. They hurt me on purpose. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they still did it to me. They talked about me behind my back, and they hurt my reputation at the office or at school or at church. Heaven forbid that would ever happen at church. They were outright rude to me. Did you hear what he or she said to me when I went and talked to them? Can you believe that? They discriminate against me because of the color of my skin or because I'm a female or because I'm a male or because I'm not an adult yet or because they think I'm too old. They stole from me. They knew it wasn't theirs. They knew it was mine and they still took it. I can't act as though nothing happened. Anyone else been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt? Hello. If you're worshiping online, you can just put a big amen in all caps if any of that registers with your life. When somebody offends us, and I'm going to assume everybody has been offended by somebody at some point, right? Okay, well, 90% probably then are here. Yes, okay. For the rest of you, just hold on because it's coming. But when somebody sins against us, when they offend us, it can feel pretty hard, pretty challenging, almost like a wall you can't get over, right? To like climb up there and to go, I forgive you, right? To extend that forgiveness. And it can be challenging because that act is tied to an emotion within us. And so it's not just a matter of something that was done. It's also, it becomes a matter of how that made us feel and how we interpret that. And then it becomes this jumbled mess kind of inside of us. And I want to speak for a second to that and remind us, because I know that still happens to me. And like, I started thinking about like, man, if it happens to me, it may happen to those that I'm be talking with. And so I want to remind us that our emotions do not always align with our faith. Sometimes we don't feel like forgiving our offender. Probably most of the time, I don't know, many of the times, you know, at least in my experience, I don't really feel like forgiving like Jesus forgives. And I want to say to us today, it's okay to have those emotions, because that's natural, because you're a human being. And you have emotional responses to things that happen to you in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. Yet at the same time, we are also people of faith. And we want to remember that faith is not driven by how we feel in the moments. Faith is not driven by how we feel in the moments. Faith is our response to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ at the cross, because we could not do what he did for ourselves. Faith is not an emotional response. Faith is a response to what God has done for us on our behalf. And thus, in Christ alone, I place my trust. Okay? Forgiveness is a faith response. It's not an emotional choice. Forgiveness is a faith response. We don't forgive because we feel like it. Can I say that again? We don't forgive people who hurt us because we feel like it. If you wait till that point in time, you may never get there. Forgiveness is a faith choice. We forgive because we have been forgiven by God. And Jesus says we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, forgiveness has become a faith choice. Now, other times, and again, I'm preaching to me as much as I am with anybody else today, that I've wrestled with this week. I've watched folks, and I've done this too, run from extending forgiveness because we may not understand biblical forgiveness. Okay? A person may think that if I forgive, well, forgive is just letting everything, it's kind of like just ignoring what happened, right? So saying then that, well, I'm just overlooking the wrongdoing then, because that's, right, you know, thinking, oh, that's what forgiveness is. Or if I forgive them, then I'm supposed to just let it go, and then, well, what about justice? Aren't I just pretending that the wrong never happened in that case? That's not biblical forgiveness. That's an incorrect view of forgiveness. Justice may be necessary. Boundaries in relationships may need to change to have healthier relationships moving forward because of wrongdoing, because of conflict. It may need to be adjusted. You see, biblical forgiveness is taking the initiative not to hold the offense against the other person, but instead choosing to pick it up and to remove it from in between you and the other person, so that that offense doesn't become anymore, doesn't become a stumbling block that hinders you from stepping forward in love to love the other person as Jesus loves them. Tracking me? Picking it up, removing it from in between me and the other person, my offender, removing it so that I don't have a stumbling block that I'm going to trip over, something that's going to hinder me, a wall that I can't get around or over or through, and I'm going to be in a place of holding it then against, and I can't really look to love the person as Christ loves them, because I keep seeing this offense that I'm choosing not to pick up and remove. I'm holding it right here. So when I see them, I keep seeing that. And I can't help but see the offense when I try to even look over it and around it, because it's sitting right there. And it's hindering me. We're not going to pretend it never happened. We're not going to ignore it. What we're doing is we're choosing to pursue peace with the offender as much as it depends on us. Are they gonna come back and say, "I'm so sorry that I hurt you. I didn't." No. They may never. Well, then I ain't gonna forgive them. Be careful. Forgiveness is not based on what someone else does. It's based on the act of love that you pursue intentionally to remove a hindrance so that you can proactively love your offender as Christ loves them, that as he has forgiven you for your sins, that you would forgive someone else for their sins, that we would forgive as God has forgiven us in Christ, that we would reflect love for forgiveness. That's really what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Think about it. He saw that our sins separate us from God. It was in between. It was a hindrance, a stumbling block that we couldn't have peace with God. We couldn't come into a right relationship with God. And so in knowing that, God says, Jesus, the Father, you're going to come to earth and you're going to go to the cross and you're going to pay the price for their sin so that it can be atoned for, it can be cleansed, washed away, removed, and thus they can receive my love unhindered. And they can share that love with others by the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to be within them. Because when they receive me, I'm going to deposit my love into their heart through the Holy Spirit, and they're going to be able to do what they couldn't do on their own before. I'm going to make it possible. So Jesus, you're my plan. This is how we're going to do this. So he takes the initiative. And he makes a way for sin to be forgiven so that we wouldn't be hindered from loving as we are loved. You know, in that parable that I started with in Matthew 18, that's, in essence, Jesus is telling Peter and the disciples that they should go love their neighbors by forgiving them. And I think of the Passover. Let your brain catch up as I shift gears. You know, the Passover, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And when he's finished, in John 13:34, he says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's not about, now you got to go wash everybody's feet just so they'll know you love them, but you need to love people as I have loved you. As I have served you and served your greatest need of salvation, you need to go serve others, and you need to go work to meet their needs. And I would perhaps argue that one of the greatest needs that we have in our relationships today is the need to extend forgiveness when we get offended. There's a whole lot of bitterness. There's a whole lot of ugliness that gets thrown around social media when we get hurt. And it's our way of lashing back out because we're hurt. And it would be better if the people of God would filter their mouths and responses through the cross first, and then consider what is the right thing to say, and consider forgiveness before bitterness. And that'll preach in a whole nother day. Won't do that today. Anybody heard the Lord's Prayer? Probably many of us, I hope. In Matthew 6:12, Jesus has a particular line that he teaches to pray. You may remember this. He says, we ought to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We are to be a forgiving people. So if you're going to love like God, you're going to live like Christ, you're going to have to be a person that in the power of Christ's love, you extend forgiveness to those that hurt you. Whether you feel like doing it or not. Because forgiveness is not an emotional choice, it is a faith choice. Lent is for me, I was thinking about this, this is such a perfect season to talk about this, because Lent is a season of reflection on what's been done, forgiven, and it's also time to consider what we're supposed to reflect, which is the love of God that's been shown to us in Christ. So as He has loved us, we ought to go forth and love others. That's simple. It's like a pass-through, right? Like it's a conduit. What's been done for you, you have to go and to do for others. Right? That type of idea. That's the mentality of it. So, if you're going to consider picking up an offense and removing it so that you're not hindered, then perhaps it would be fitting if I would ask us this question. Are you forgiving those who offend you by picking up that offense and removing it from in between you? Or are you holding it there in between? Because either forgiveness has been an emotional choice for you, or you haven't understood biblical forgiveness. You don't have to answer that publicly, out loud. But I would invite you to consider answering that question in prayer with the Holy Spirit. To listen to what God may be wanting to say to you and to your heart and to your mind for how you have viewed forgiveness, whether or not you have been choosing to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. This is one of those messages where we just stop. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me. There's a passage I'm going to put on the screen. I want us to read that out loud together. And after we read this passage, I want to invite you, if you felt led to, if you'd like to, want to pray for each other. If you'd like to come to the front row here where we could just gather around you and pray for you. Remember, worship is not... it's really not about us. It's about the Lord. And when we pray, it's not about what people would think about us. It's about the Lord. So if you're struggling with forgiveness, or you have somebody you know that really care about who's struggling with forgiveness, and you'd like to pray for them today on their behalf, and church to gather around you and join you in prayer, we would love to do that. And our elders are ready to respond and to gather alongside you in prayer. The music is going to play in the background. I want to give you a moment to just you and the Lord, right? Just take this moment, bow in your heart, and respond to the word that God has spoken to us today. And consider forgiving as you've been forgiven. If you'd like to come that front row, please come. Father, who are we that you would be mindful of us? You are so holy, and we are sinners saved by grace. Our righteousness is not in and of ourselves, but through Christ in us. You know that. We know that. We love not because we loved you first, but we love because you first loved us. So help us to extend that love through forgiving those who offend us, who sin against us, hurt us, and help us to see what might look like an insurmountable mountain to reach a point of even just saying, I forgive. Help us by your Spirit to do what we can't do in and of our own strength and abilities. We need your divine help within us by your grace to be a merciful people and to forgive as we've been forgiven. Thank you for not holding our sin against us, but forgiving us. Help us to not hold the sins of others against us, but to forgive them and to step into being a person of mercy and compassion, blessing our offenders, praying for our offenders. I pray for your help in the name of Jesus today. We need you, Lord. In a war-torn world, we need you.